Stars, El Pacifico. Phil Hendry.
Welcome back. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show here, our News and Information Hour. And boy, very, very busy this past weekend. Go to our homepage at philhendryshow.com and click on our podcast link there and give a listen to the first ever, and there will be many, many more. In fact, our second one coming up on Thursday, our free Phil Hendry podcast right there. Click the link there on our homepage, and it takes you right over to our free Phil Hendry Show podcast. Also, get a backstage pass by going to philhendryshow.com. Once you've checked out the archives that are streaming free over at Phil Hendry Radio, go to philhendryshow.com and get a backstage pass and listen to thousands of hours of archive material, as well as a nightly TV show, Phil TV in HD, as I appear here each and every night wearing a new version of a wrinkled shirt.
Why don't you get that thing, get it ironed, man?
Get it ironed? Why would I iron a whole shirt for a radio show? I mean, you know.
Because you want to be interesting to look at and everything.
I'm already interesting to look at. What are you talking about?
No, that's why I'm trying to make it look better.
Well, look, man, I can get into a tuxedo. I don't know, you know. I mean, radio guys don't get dressed up, and they never will. Cats that. I always love these guys that would go on the air with a tie.
You ever seen guys like that?
Oh, yeah. Back in the day, cats would go on the air with their ties. And I suppose it's all a matter of personal taste. One of the things that compelled me to get into radio, it wasn't a big factor, but it was a factor, and that was I realized it didn't matter what I wore to work, you know.
Yeah, you did a Stellar, you interview for your first job wearing sandals?
I did. My first gig in radio, I went in and I interviewed for the gig wearing sandals, so, and I got the job.
Yeah, dude, but you were playing stupid music and everything.
Well, what does that mean, bud? It wasn't a very good job?
Yeah.
Nobody's first job in radio is very good. Are you crazy? What do you think I'm going to... My very first gig in radio, man, I'm going to be pulling down the big dollars and have a... I wasn't very good playing crappy music.
Ain't that what you said you played me and Joan? Or me and Miss Jones?
Me and Miss Jones? Me and Mrs. Jones? Yeah, I did. All right, forget that. Anyway, make a long story short... I didn't iron my shirt, so kill me. I'm having a hard time, and this is not a bad problem to have, as Dan was saying before the show. You know, I've lost now, folks. I'm down to 258. Started at 289 2 months ago, so that's 31 pounds in 2 months. That is 15 pounds a month. That's pretty good. And now nothing fits.
What about your shirts?
Well, some of the shirts are still too tight. You're right about that. But the pants, forget it, man. I ain't got a pair of pants that fits me. Not even a pair of shorts. The only thing that fits me are bathing suits.
Yeah, you have to go to a job, you know, like go out and do errands in a bathing suit?
No, I don't have to go out and do errands in a bathing suit. But
What kind of shoes would you wear with that?
What kind of shoes would I wear? What are you saying?
What kind of shoes you would wear with a bathing suit? If you had to go on a job interview in a bathing suit.
I wouldn't go on a job interview in a bathing suit.
But if you had to, because all the pants were falling off.
I'd go out and I'd buy a pair of pants before I went on a job interview.
But if you couldn't? Yeah, just say you couldn't, and all your pants is too big because they're falling off, and you can't walk in with your pants down around your ankle.
Maybe you could with certain jobs.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty funny.
You get to the point.
Well, anyway, so now you got to do a job interview in a bathing suit. What kind of shoe wear?
Yeah, what kind of footwear?
You guys are trying to screw with me. I know that.
No, seriously.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go to a job interview in a bathing suit. Do you understand? I'm not going
to
do it.
All right, then you ain't going to go to a job, and the guy's waiting for you to show up.
Yeah, he's waiting for me to show up looking like a human being, man. I'm not going to go into his office in a bathing suit. I guess I'd have to call up and say I'm sick or something.
So you'd blow off a job opportunity on account of your pants is falling down around your ankle. Boy, oh boy.
Yeah, that's about, what happened? That's about what I would do. That's about what I would do, bud. I turned. Will you not touch that knob, please?
Which one? This one?
Why, you dirty little pervert.
Ow, ow.
Yeah. All for the sake of a joke, huh?
That hurt.
That'll hurt a lot worse. You do that again.
Man, I couldn't believe you did that.
Which knob? This knob?
Thought it was funny.
Not even close, Jack. I'm not going to go to a job interview wearing a bathing suit. Ain't going to happen. Do you understand? Thank you. Not going to go on a job interview wearing a bathing suit. If I got to call a guy up and say, I'm sorry, I'm sick.
Why don't you tell him the truth? Yeah, at least you tell a guy the truth. I'm sorry, but I lost a lot of weight and my pants are falling off and I can't afford to get new ones.
Oh, so that's it. I can't afford to get new ones. You guys didn't tell me that part of the deal. So that's why I've got to wear the bathing suit. Is that it?
Yeah, you can't afford a new pants. That's why I got to get a job.
Well, I'd have to be honest with him, and I would say, sir, I'm sorry, I can't come in for the job interview because I've lost a lot of weight, my pants are falling off, and I can't afford to buy new pants unless you hire me for this job that I'm not coming in for the job interview on. That makes a lot of sense.
Oh, yeah, I didn't think about that.
Yeah, you didn't think about a lot of stuff, man.
Well, still, man, I mean, you wouldn't go in a bathing suit.
No, I'm not going to go in a bathing suit. Unless if I had the gall to call a guy up and say I can't come in because my pants don't fit and I can't afford to wear any pants, I guess by that point I would say, would you mind if I came in wearing a bathing suit?
Hey, I told you. You might be able to break the ice.
Maybe. You know, now that you guys put it that way, maybe. You know, it's always worth a shot, I guess, in a bathing suit. I went one time, some summers I get so lazy, and I actually did this, and it is kind of piggish. I was so chilled out one summer, and I think I had a few days off, that I wore a bathing suit everywhere. I remember going to the Beverly Center in a bathing suit. I went and I saw that lousy movie. Oh, God.
Which one?
That lousy 13 Days. Was that the name of that thing? You guys remember it. It was the one with Kevin Costner where he plays... It's about John Kennedy and the Cuban Missile Crisis. And
what's that?
It was back when America was going to go to war with the Russians. Never mind. So it was in October of 62, and the Russians had missiles in Cuba. So anyway, this was a Kevin Costner movie. It had Bruce Greenwood. It had some good actors. But anytime Kevin Costner, excuse me for saying this, man, every time he tries to do an accent, it sucks, you know. And
yeah, but he did that JFK.
Yeah, I don't think his southern accent was very good in that movie. And then he did, in this movie, he did a Massachusetts accent, which is really kind of hard to master. You know, there's a certain, you have to kind of get into, everybody knows the whole ka and the ya, ya ding.
What's that?
That's like a Boston Yankee accent. It's like Boston and the ka and the ya, that kind of, you ever heard that?
Uh-oh, no.
Well, that's the way they sound.
Ka-ya.
Just never mind. That's what Boston people sound like. Well, if you listen like, you listen to certain guys. Like, there's a cat from Boston. I said, oh, wow, the cat's accent. Walter Brennan, you guys don't know him. He was an old movie actor. And when I listen to that guy's voice, I go, oh, yeah, no, I can see that cat's from Massachusetts. Walter Brennan, he had this old guy. He always played old guys. But I can't describe it. It's like, we sort of went to the car, and at that time, you got to almost put yourself into a cop voice. Well, Costner couldn't do that. And I sat down, and we watched this movie. Boy, did that blow. And then, mercifully, the audio was cutting out on it. So that sort of gave the entire audience, and I'm telling you, everybody got up and left.
I don't remember that movie. I'll take a look at the box office on it, but I bet you it smells bad.
Yeah, the box office on that probably is a real smeller.
Yeah, well, don't worry about it. But the whole reason why we went and saw that movie, we went to P.F. Chang's, and did the whole freaking day in a bathing suit. That's how just... And that's the way I'm planning on doing this summer, man. Nothing's going to stop me.
You're going all out, huh?
You better believe it. This summer, I am going to take advantage of everything there is to take advantage of. I'm going to get out. I'm going to do some body surfing. I'm going to do a hell of a lot of swimming. I'm going to drink beer. Oh, man. I'm going to drink a lot of beer. I ain't had near enough to drink in the last 6 years.
Yeah, I'll tell you, man, you had some time on.
Don't worry about it. I don't want to, not irresponsible drinking, but I haven't had, in the last 6 years, I haven't even come close to drinking my quota. Well, it all changes this summer.
Yeah, drink beer too, huh?
Yep. All right, when we come back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, this Facebook story, you guys know about this? Facebook's got some problems. It's very possible that their IPO is going to be, their initial public offering of stock is going to be investigated by the SEC because it turns out, or the word is, that Facebook, halfway through their dog and pony show, halfway through this IPO, they inform some of their more elite investors, we're going to have to devalue or we're going to have to depreciate the price of this stock, but they didn't tell everybody. So there's a little bit of, is it insider stuff? Is it not? You know, what's going on there, man? We'll talk about it when we come back. World famous Phil Henry Show. There,
Truth
I probably just told the whole
is
thing.
Our
there.
Bitch.
Yeah.
The you Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, our news and information hour. Facebook advised analysts to cut forecasts before the float, that is, before the before they put their money in to Facebook in this initial public offering, an IPO, an initial public offering, is, hi, we have a company, and we are now going to sell stock.
That's what that is?
Yes, that's what that is. We are now going to sell stock. And companies do that when they want to raise money. And Facebook was looking to, you know, make money. And I'm sure in the case of Mark Zuckerberg, he wanted to retain a majority sort of control. But at the same time, he wanted to get a little money out of this deal. More than a little money. I think he made around $17 billion. Well, it says you're 16, but as Facebook officials, but here's the rub, folks. As Facebook officials traveled the country to talk up the company's $16 billion initial public offering this month, the social networking giant advised analysts for underwriters to reduce revenue and earnings forecasts, said people with direct knowledge. So they were telling these analysts, for anybody interested in buying stock, you better reduce the forecasts and revenue, you better reduce the earning and revenue forecast. We don't want our principal investors, our blue chip investors, if you will, we don't want them getting any bad information. We want them having the state of the art, clear cut, real information. There's only one problem with that.
Didn't tell everybody.
They didn't tell everybody. They only told these guys. And now there is, and I only know a very sort of tangential information, there is a legal period where you may offer stock to a select group of people at a certain price. And I believe that period is before you launch your IPO. In other words, it could be people who have been principals in the company, like, for instance, a vice president or a director of, you know, manufacturing, people that you've worked with. The SEC allows a legal purchasing of stock by those individuals for a limited period of time at a very, very, very much a reduced price. That is legal, and it there's a very finite period to that. That's not what happened here. This was going on after everything went public. At least that's according to all of these sources that have become so numerous. Now the Securities and Exchange Commission is saying, wait a minute. Nothing, sir. We're just over. Well, no, don't you get out the door before you talk to Big Daddy SEC here. Now, what are you doing? Facebook decided to tell analysts to cut estimates due to feedback during the investor roadshow, which revealed users were opting for mobile devices, which generate less advertising revenue. And after consulting with the their advisor, Morgan Stanley, that people were opting for mobile devices which generate less advertising revenue. You know, I'm shocked that Facebook had to go on the road in the middle of an IPO to find that out. If you don't know that people are opting for mobile devices, man, you should have figured that one out like maybe, oh, I don't know, 2-3 years ago when everybody and their mother was on TV advertising, we're mobile here, we're mobile there. Everybody mobile, 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 mobile. Why the hell do you think I've been talking so much about it? Getting our site mobile.
Yeah, well, what I mean, what do you mean?
What are you talking? But when did you first get your iPhone?
3 years ago.
No, you didn't. You got it 2 years ago, just like me.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Okay, 2 years ago. And remember we were sitting watching football, and what did we see?
Yeah, so the NFL had a mobile.
NFL, NHL, everybody mobile. And all of a sudden now Facebook's got to go out there on the road and figure that one out.
Hey, I didn't know this, man, but everybody's opting for mobile.
Oh, really? Wow. Could have knocked me over with a feather, man. That's there's a news flash for you. What? How is it that I'm smarter than Mark Zuckerberg on that little piece of information? And, oh, well, I'm sure. Maybe he knew. Facebook backed off and said, hey, get your models down, said a person at one of the underwriters with knowledge of the situation. So they go out on the road. They find out that users are opting for mobile devices which generate less advertising revenue. And what does that mean? Well, you know, in order to generate advertising revenue at Facebook, don't you have to buy a bunch of crap?
Well, I don't know, man. They got all different kinds of ads and different ways. If you're going to get, they have people buying ad though.
Yeah, that's what I mean. People are buying advertising. People buy stuff over there though, don't they?
Yeah, if you're an idiot, you do. But that, I don't know anybody give their credit card for that crap.
I know a couple people.
Well, yeah, but they must be the dumbest people ever.
Well, I wouldn't give my freaking credit card to Facebook. I wouldn't get knowing what we know about that.
But I don't think that's what they're making their money on, those sidebar ads and all that.
Okay. So, to be honest with you, I can go to Facebook right now, and those of you that are watching on Phil TV and HD, you can see I'm holding here my iPhone, all right? Where am I? There it is.
Facebook.
There, I'm on Facebook. Now, there's my homepage on Facebook. Scroll down, man. Where are the ads?
They don't have none.
They ain't got none, baby. Now, you can go to the feed. That's my page. Now, let's say I want to go over to the news feed. That's generally where you're going to see a lot of those ads. There ain't no ads here, man.
Yeah, that's because Facebook mobile site, they don't have no ads.
Well, it hasn't refreshed yet, but I don't recall seeing ads on the feed here on the mobile app here. You're not going to use the Facebook's, you're not going to use the full Facebook site on your mobile phone. I don't. What is this, man? Instant Messenger? Who said I wanted that crap?
No, that's just something they offer you.
Get that out of here. Anyway, so here it is, and there ain't any advertising on there. You just see all of my friends as they're saying all their things. So yeah, it doesn't generate any advertising. Facebook's advisory came around May the 9th, the day that it published an amended prospectus that included a cautionary note about lower advertising revenue. It isn't known which analysts from the 33 IPO underwriters were contacted by Facebook with the revised guidance. It also isn't clear exactly who from Facebook gave the guidance. But Facebook is reaching out to these analysts that work for some pretty big underwriters, people that would invest in Facebook, buy large blocks of stock, and, we need to tell you, and they're not doing it for Mr. and Mrs. America, Mr. and Mrs. Joe Blow, you know. They're out there. They're going to invest. They're going to buy stock. Don't you think they get a little information?
Yeah, and Facebook's not doing it because Zuckerberg wants to lip lock on all the rich guys.
Yeah, that's the same old story over and over again, man. Little guy getting screwed.
Well, I mean, you know, I can't argue with you. I can't argue with you. But you know why they did it.
Nah.
Well, they're doing it, man, so that they don't alienate their biggest underwriters. And at the same time, they keep the money coming in. So you're not going to say, oh, you know, everybody, our stock is not it's not worth what we thought it was. Everybody has this information. So guess what? We're not even going to make anywhere near the money we thought we would. No. What they said was, let's just tell the big guys so we don't alienate them, because these are very sophisticated and deep-pocketed cats, and if they start coming in at a certain price and they find out the stock dropped within 24 hours, I think it went from $37 to $31, they're going to be pissed at us. We'll go ahead and tell them, but the average schmuck, he'll keep on buying and not know what's up.
Gotta get him to pay for it.
So they're the ones that are funding the majority of this IPO. I got to tell you personally, because you guys asked me this, and I told you, I don't see Facebook, and a lot of people don't see Facebook as anything as substantial in terms of an investment. I mean, I know it's going to be around for a while, and I get that it's big and people use it, but they have not yet gotten anybody convinced as to how it's going to generate, continue to generate big dollars. All right, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Going to be right back. I'm going to continue reading this Facebook story because it's, you know, and bald men. Forget it. I don't want to do anything about bald guys getting cancer.
Yeah.
The remote control inventor has passed on at the age of 96. What's his name? Don't pull that away from me. You're going to have to look it up.
I almost saw it.
Yeah. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. This is the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here to the world famous Phil Henry Show. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-7445. It is our news and information hour. So we're talking about Facebook. And essentially, if I'm analyzing this wrong, then I'm sure I've got a lot of very intelligent listeners. You guys could help me. Bud, Robert, you guys just tell me.
Well, let me hear it one more time. See what you're on the right track.
Man, you ain't advertising how smart you are, man.
Yeah, you're not neither.
You're not neither. All right, here it is. Facebook, essentially, this is the problem. And I'm telling you, it's shocking. It's shocking. There's no question it's shocking. Yeah, Morgan Stanley, if you guys think that when I say to you, we have a generation of executives and business leaders that got their heads so far up their asses that, you know, it'll be years before you're able to pull them out of there. Listen to this, because this is what I'm reading. If I'm wrong, tell me. Facebook. Mark Zuckerberg, real genius, right? I believe he is. Mark Zuckerberg has the opposite problem of most of these industry people, no matter what the industry, especially when it comes to communications, though. Mark Zuckerberg has the opposite problem. Most of these dumbasses, including people that run this industry, the radio industry, are aware of the delivery platforms. They're aware of Wi-Fi. They're aware of mobile. They're aware of fiber optic. They're aware of this. They're aware of that. They're aware of something else. How, you know, you can get it into somebody's house, how you can get it into somebody's ear. The thing they don't know anything about is what is it they're delivering? Content, the shows, the actual entertainment product, radio, to some extent, television, but radio is the most glaring example. Radio hasn't got a handle on content at all. They know all about all the different ways to deliver it, but their answer to content is iHeartRadio. That's the brightest idea they've been able to come up with, and they got everybody. Mark Zuckerberg's got the opposite problem, and this is what's cost him here in this IPO. Zuckerberg is all about content. If you've got a Facebook page, and a lot of you do, I do, it is nauseating how many things they change, how many times they tweak this, what they do. Everybody that I know is increasingly hating Facebook because of all the garbage that they load onto that stupid-ass social networking site. The change in the what was that one, Robert?
No, it's in a timeline, man. That stinks.
I hate that.
Yeah, they changed the timeline and the different ways you send messages. They got 58,000 different things. You got your own inbox and you got this and that. And here's the circle of friends. I'm telling you, there's so many things that they change and so much stuff they got, it starts to piss you off. Well, it's great, though, because Mark knows. Here's the thing he doesn't know, though. I said it's the opposite problem. While the radio business knows all about delivery, Zuckerberg apparently doesn't know a damn thing about delivery platforms. How do you take Facebook and take it to the consumer? He's got his head shoved up his ass. Halfway through his IPO, listen to this, folks. I'm going to read this line. You got to understand this now. Most people don't get this stuff. If you can understand this, you know what I've been saying. Due to feedback during the investor roadshow, which revealed users were opting for mobile devices, This guy is halfway through the road show offering stock, and he's just now finding out that people are into mobile devices. Mark Zuckerberg, the genius, the wunderkind, the brain surgeon. Is there anybody that this guy has got around him? Is there anybody at Morgan Stanley? Is there anybody within 100 country miles of these jackasses that said to them, you guys ain't heard about mobile? You got to be kidding. Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm so busy with my Facebook. Mobile? All you got to do is turn a TV set on, and you're every single ad having to do with anything AT&T, Sprint, or Verizon, what are they showing? There's a guy holding a mobile phone. You can get the NHL. You get the NFL. You got Major League Baseball. You can tune into Netflix. You can look at the app for the movie channel here and the movie channel there, and everybody's mobile. What's Phil Hendry been talking about for a year? Getting our site mobile. How can I get my on-demand video mobile? Mobile! But one of the biggest and most profound business stories in the history of U.S. business, Facebook, taking its business public for the first time with a 28-year-old genius, all of a sudden they get halfway through the roadshow and they're, holy God, what? We forgot about something. What? People use mobile, and where are our ads on mobile? I just looked at Phil Hendry, and he was on his video cast there, and he showed his mobile phone to his audience, and he had his Facebook page up, and there's no ads on the mobile Facebook app. So we got two problems now. We have to tell the real heavy hitter money people that you got to revise everything down because we don't want to alienate them. The second problem we got is developing a way to deliver advertising to mobile users. How are we going to do that? And then the third problem, wiping up the rear, are the schmucks out there, Mr. and Mrs. Salt of the Earth America. And what are we going to tell them? I got it. How about nothing? And that's Facebook's first foot forward as a publicly traded company. Not a good start, guys. But the thing that bothers me the most isn't so much that they disrespected Mr. and Mrs. America. I mean, that's bad. That they disrespected what Morgan Stanley calls the institutional investors. Morgan Stanley assures everyone that they did advise their institutional clients. They communicated this to their institutional clients. There's only one problem. They communicated the prospectus, but not the reduced earnings. But anyway, I'm getting off track. What we found out here is that Facebook, all of a sudden, doesn't know anything about mobile. Now, how is that possible? Mark Zuckerberg has got his head buried in what the magical, marvelous world of Facebook can do, and he isn't thinking about the devices upon which you receive Facebook. Is it an iPad? Is it an iPhone? Is it another mobile device like a Droid? Is it a desktop? Is it a laptop? Where are people using Facebook? Is it in the home entertainment system? Are they using it in the car? Are they at their... what is the device? And once you know what the device is, then you can begin to say, well, here's how we're going to deliver advertising. We know how they deliver advertising on the desktop site, on the full site. You look at those ads, click a thumb up or the thumb down. It's kind of cute, whatever. They also can give your credit card to play those stupid-ass, ridiculous freaking... I wouldn't go near any of those apps.
Yeah, play Farmville? That's bitching.
Farmville, man. Farmville is for... Man, you gotta be missing part of your brain. You had to have been born with your brain outside of your skull.
You were born with the brain out...
All right, enough. I wouldn't give my credit... I'm nothing against Facebook, man. I wouldn't give my credit card to Facebook or Twitter. I wouldn't give them your credit card, bud.
That's good or bad, which...
That's... Actually, good, but it's kind of bad because that's how much I don't have faith in your credit card. Anyway, I'm telling you, let that piece of info. I've just given you a very significant look into the world of American business. This is happening everywhere. And I've told you this a million times. I know a lot of you guys, you're all hooked on this bull crap ideal that, oh, well, you let the free enterprise system just do what it needs to do, and the cream rises to the top. Maybe, but while the cream is making its way to the top, man, there's a whole bunch of other crap that got dropped in there. Now there's Facebook. Now they're going to have a problem. They got all kinds of problems. Number one, they got a problem with the... you know, people that they're trying to sell stock to. They may still have a problem with these IPO underwriters and who they were. The underwriters, they may still have a problem with them because these underwriters probably saying, do you guys know what you're doing? Well, I should say so. Look at my company. Well, that's fine, man. But, I mean, this is kind of a significant piece of information. You cats did not have this organized or well thought out. And now, halfway through this freaking dog and pony show, you're having to revise the stock price down. It closed at $31 today. When did they open the initial offering? I don't know when it was, but it opened at $37 a share, $38 a share. It's down to $31 now. Supposed to go up, man. You understand? With a company like Facebook, a big-ass, sexy company. They just had a movie done about them. I mean, this guy's kisser is on every magazine. The stock price is supposed to go up. Up. Not down.
Yeah, that way you make money.
There you go. Give the man a cigar. That's it. So they pissed off them. The average stockholder, this is going to filter down to him. Well, look at Facebook's playing it cute again, man. Every time I go on Facebook, they got a problem with giving away people's personal information. They're a company that was founded by hackers, so I still, you know, you don't know who to trust. And now they're pulling this stuff. Okay, and then the third thing, they may have a problem with the Securities and Exchange Commission. They may get the SEC looking into their baloney. It may not be as bad as a law, you know, the SEC filing a suit, but it starts kind of starting things out shaky, you know.
Man, that is pretty funny that they don't know about, mobile.
Well, that's what the article says here. Facebook officials traveled the country to talk about the company's $16 billion initial public offering. They cut estimates due to feedback during the investor roadshow, which revealed users were opting for mobile devices, which generate less advertising revenue, and after consulting with Morgan Stanley. As previously reported by Reuters, the analysts for a lead underwriter Morgan Stanley and at least three other underwriters in the following days reduced their forecasts for Facebook's second quarter and full year revenue and communicated this to at least some of their institutional clients. Two U.S. financial regulators will review Facebook's initial public offering after it closed flat on float and plunged 11% on Monday. Facebook shares closed 8.9% lower on Tuesday.
Wow.
Shedding more than $19 billion in market capitalization from its $38 per share offering price last week. Morgan Stanley says it did nothing wrong in the Facebook IPO. Two sources said Morgan Stanley advised Facebook to urge analysts to lower forecasts. Morgan Stanley bankers were telling the company how to handle the research analysts, said a source from one of the underwriting firms. Facebook changed the numbers. They didn't forecast their business right, and they changed their numbers and told analysts, said another source, at one of the underwriters with knowledge of the situation. The analysts' underwriters then all changed their numbers based on what management was telling them. Boy, believe me, I've been around business long enough to know all. I believe all of this. I believe all, because guys, at a certain point, you get to the bean counters, you get to middle management, and those guys are not free thinkers. They'll do whatever the man tells them to do. I mean, it's not the same as the Nazis. You know, we're not talking about, you know, killing people, but it's kind of the same philosophy. They told me what to do, and I do the thing. That's what it is. You know, I'm not saying they're, you know, doing horrible things, but it really is kind of the same little middle management thing. I just did what the guy told me to do. Really, you didn't see the numbers kind of. How many times have we seen in the history of American business, who's the guy that's the whistleblower? Who's the guy that finds out stuff is just some middle management guy with some guts? With guts. And he comes forward, he says, I don't know about anybody else, but I've been working this job, and I'm telling you right now, something stinks. Well, what are you talking about? Take a look at this. All right, let's come back here, our final segment, world-famous Phil Henry Show. I guess we belabored those problems of Facebook long enough. We'll talk about the dear man who invented the remote control. The remote control had an inventor. He has passed on, and we'll talk about Mr. Eugene Pauly next on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth. He's our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Man, that's weird.
Yo,
world-famous Phil Henry Show.
You know, I mean, just one final thought here. Welcome back to world-famous Phil Henry Show. Just one final thought on Facebook. It ain't like it's going to be a hard thing for them to figure out. Zuckerberg is obviously a really smart guy. This is a very valuable lesson for him. You got to keep your eye on the delivery as well as the content itself. And God bless him for keeping an eye on content, because God knows there ain't too many of those guys around. Well, I know you got to. What are you guys actually? What's the content? What are you guys actually selling people? Oh, well, gee, I didn't think of that. Yeah, I didn't think of that. You got Wi-Fi, and you got lo-fi, and you got your mama-fi, and you got streaming this and app that, and oh, gee, you ought to see the conversations that's going on in my business right now. I laugh until I'm sick. I'm telling you, I laugh until I'm sick, because all I got to do is get on Twitter and look at some of the radio people. Ooh, apps. Oh, they're all just onto apps now, man. Do you know what an app can do? Well, it can do this and that. Well, that's nice. Now, what exactly are you putting on this app? Well, go ahead, I'm listening. We have, 58 different, 58 different music stations. And you know what? You're doing the same garbage on the air that you've always done, but now you got an app. Yay! All right, remote control inventor Eugene Pauly dies at 96, bud. This is the guy that invented the remote control.
Well, I mean, I thought they always had remote control.
No, they didn't always have remote control. First, they had TVs, but you had to get up off your ass and go and change the channel.
No kidding.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And when the first remote control came out, well, let's read on here. Eugene Pauly, inventor of the wireless television remote control, has died at the age of 96, according to the Associated Press on Tuesday. Pauly died of natural causes on Sunday in a Chicago area hospital. The former Zenith engineer's green gun-shaped Flashmatic remote control was introduced in 1955, 5 years after the Zenith Radio Corporation unveiled Lazy Bones, a TV remote that was connected to the set with a wire. By aiming Pauly's ray gun-like Flashmatic, which looks like a ray gun, they got a picture of it here, very precisely at the receiver, one could pull the red trigger to shoot a beam of light at a photoelectric cell to change the channel and adjust the volume. Unfortunately, the Flashmatic system proved somewhat flawed, because direct sunlight shining on the receiver's photocells could also trigger the remote control functions. Anybody that has a photocell garage door opener knows what that's about.
But you can't open it up?
No, I swear to God, man, I had a garage door opener, and it had the little photocells at the bottom, and it just so happened that my garage faced the rising sun in the morning. And I couldn't close that sucker for love or money. You had to wait. You either had to go into the garage and block the, put a shadow over it, and then as soon as it started to close, dive under the door to get out of the garage, or you had to wait for the sun to settle behind a hill.
That's real. Well, boy, talk about your 21st century.
Oh, it was pretty funny, actually. All right. So, but Pauly's breakthrough led to a better device developed just a year later by Robert Adler, a fellow engineer at Zenith, which is now owned by LG Electronics. Adler's Zenith Space Command used ultrasound instead of light to trigger functions on the TV receiver. That remote made a signature clicking sound when it struck a bar to emit various frequencies that could be detected by the television set. Remote controls thus became known as clickers, a nickname still used by some, even though succeeding generations of electronic ultrasonic remotes lost the signature clicking sound. Eventually, those devices were replaced by remotes using infrared systems that enabled more complex functionality, bringing remote control technology back full circle to Mr. Pauly's original light-based Flashmatic.
So they went back to that guy's thing.
That's what it's saying here. Pauly's invention touched off a revolution in television viewing. The remote control is now so ubiquitous that generations of television viewers are largely unaware, just like you guys, that there was a time when one had to get up from the couch and twiddle with knobs on the set itself to change the channel. And you not only had to do that, but you had to get up and kind of adjust it, you know?
Yeah, I remember my grandfather had a TV, what you would adjust on a TV.
Well, you still got to do it with TVs, sort of, you know. But now, it's all remote, man. It's all, and there's more remotes.
Yeah, but like when you went to that studio there?
Oh, yeah, man. You know, when I went over to Pop Sound in Santa Monica, I love working at Pop Sound in Santa Monica, but they have TV, you know, the TV that you watch while you're waiting to go in the studio. 86 freaking remotes, man. And, you know, you want to feel stupid? Sit down in front of a TV set, a big, beautiful TV set, big-ass TV set. Sit down in front of one that's got 6-7 remotes. And use every one of those remotes and not be able to turn that TV on, and you will feel like brain surgeon on the move, man.
You couldn't open up one of them?
I couldn't get one of them turned on. No. No.
Why don't you ask some help?
Because I'm a man. Don't you know that we don't ask for help? We don't ask for directions. We don't do anything. All right.
They ain't know that.
No. So anyway, one somewhat comic side effect of people's reliance on remotes occurs when they misplace one. It's common for a TV viewer today to spend far more time looking for the missing remote under the sofa cushions than it would have taken to simply change the channel on the set as one did back in the pre-Flashmatic days. Woo-hoo! World famous Phil Henry Show, produced by Dan Northcraft and me, Phil Henry. Join us online at philhenryshow.com for a live streaming video picture every night of the Phil Henry Show, as well as our archived audio and, of course, our flashback, our daily flashback. We'll see you guys later on. Oh, actually, we'll see you guys Monday, because the next three nights, it's going to be radio only. We will have radio for you, but no video cast for the next three nights. But we'll see you Monday. Let it be a lesson to you.
Phil Henry.